Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be with you this beautiful hot Sunday morning. Before I begin my talk this morning, I have a special announcement that I'd like to make. It's a very happy announcement. Our friends, Barbara Avrillon-Golden and Hamish Forward, have decided to marry each other. And so we're celebrating. Let's see if we have a picture of them. No, I don't think we do. A picture of Barbara and Hamish came to us this week that is just delightful to see. They are so very happy to be with each other, and we just wish them our best wishes and celebrate with them in their engagement. So yay for Barbara and Hamish. Congratulations, you love birds. This morning, I'd like to speak with you just for a few minutes about the times we're living in today and this idea of togetherness, the idea of our connectedness, the idea of our interdependence with each other. I'm going to just practice a little amateur psychology here and talk about the fact that when we are stressed, fearful, angry, uncertain, confused, we sometimes revert to our more base instincts. We sometimes decide that it's easier for us to go with the path of least resistance, which can be our instincts to see ourselves as us versus them, to find fault in others, to want to put a circle of protection around ourselves and then judge people that are outside our circle. This is not useful. It's not helpful. And it's certainly not conducive to our spiritual growth. And we're living in one of those times right now, and you can see out there in the world that there's a lot of polarity from world politics, world policies, all the way down to interactions that people have with each other in public that aren't so pleasant. I would like to think that there are more beautiful interactions between people than there are not so beautiful. But we have to be patient and remember that others and ourselves, that we will sometimes have those behaviors that are not the best of ourselves. And so it's important for us to really practice our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual wisdom, and to rise above those baser instincts so that we can be with other people, so that we can understand other people, so that we can be patient, so that we can pray for each other. And you see, this, I think, is the key. I'm going to show you in a few minutes that in scriptures from all over the world, in all kinds of spiritual practices, there are instructions, there are commands that we love our brothers and sisters no matter how different we are. And so the thing that we have that saves us from our tendency toward judgment, our tendency toward separation, our tendency toward dismissal of other people, is the power of prayer. And the knowledge that God is everywhere present and God is in every person. Now, here's the challenge for us, I think. We would like to think sometimes, or we involuntarily think, that God surely cannot be present with that person because they're doing something that's not very godlike. Their lives are not demonstrating God. Their lives are not filled with the better decisions and the better judgment that we have when we're following the path of spirit. But here's what we have to remember. Have you ever had a time in your life in which you felt like God was not present? in which you felt abandoned, alone, just leaning upon your own will, your own strength, floundering, lost. And then when you're past that period of time, you look back and you see that God was there all along. And so I would invite all of us, as we look out at other people in the world, different cultures, different colors, different ways of being, different ways of living, people that are not known to us, people that we have a preconceived notion about, that we remember that no matter what the demonstration is, no matter what the way a person looks is, no matter what their actions are, that God is present with them too. And that is not done just by our own will alone. That's where it starts. That's one of the powers that we have. We have the power of will, and we have the power of understanding that leads us back toward embracing other human beings, toward trying to understand that we are all brothers and sisters, no matter what, that God is present with everyone, no matter what, that we have an obligation as spiritual beings on this human plane. We have an obligation to embrace all. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to accept bad behaviors. It doesn't mean that we don't set good boundaries around ourselves. It doesn't matter that we make observations that may be accurate. The higher plane of existence would have us remember that we are God's creatures, all of us. And so that leads us into a softer place. It leads us into a place of understanding, a place of being able to pray for others. Excuse me just a moment. I know that what's happened for us in the time that we've been apart is that we've probably communicated more with each other through various social media, emails, texts, calls. We have communicated those times when we're in stress or when we have a beloved that is suffering. The circle of this pandemic closes in on us periodically, and we have close family members that are affected. And have you not noticed that when you see one of those emails, when you hear that from someone, that your heart just softens and melts a little bit in understanding and in sympathy, of course. But it also expands in knowing that God is at work in the lives of our beloved friends and family and their friends and their family, and the circle beyond that and the circle beyond that. You see, it never stops. It never stops. We are people of God doing the work of God here on earth. We are obliged to be with each other, to hold each other, friends, strangers, people who may have done things that were foolish, that we might have a tendency to blame. Still, they are our brothers and sisters. And I believe it was somebody very important, like Jesus, who said, if you're without sin, go ahead and cast that stone. If you have never, ever made a mistake, if you've never, ever had a judgment, then you may go ahead and blame others for their mistakes and have judgments about them. But I don't think any of us fall into that category. So let me share with you what some of the great teachings of the world have said about our obligation to each other, about our commitment to each other, about our love for each other. There's a beautiful prayer in John 17, and this is a prayer that Jesus is having on his own for his disciples and for the people coming after them before his crucifixion. He says, "I do not pray for these, my disciples only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And in Matthew, he reminded people, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We've talked about that one in church. We've talked about that in small groups. But now we're talking about when two or three are gathered in consciousness. We don't have to be in the physical presence of each other to know that we are one in prayer, in our motives, in our focus, in our growth. And we magnify each other. I think that's what Jesus was trying to say. From Judaism in the Mishnah, "If two sit together and the words between them are of Torah, then the Shekinah is in their midst." Same teaching. From Hinduism, "Meet together, speak together, let your minds be of one accord. As the gods of old, being of one mind, accepted their share of the sacrifice. May your counsel be common, your assembly common, common the mind and the thoughts of these united. A common purpose do I lay before you and worship with your common oblation. Let your aims be common, let your hearts be of one accord, and all of you be of one mind, so that you may live well together." From Confucianism, I love the writings in Confucianism because they're so straightforward. They just say what is true and there it is. Abruptly, he asked of me, "Through what can the empire be settled?" "Through unity," I said. "Who can unite it?" "One who is not fond of killing can unite it." One who is not fond of killing can unite. And we're not talking about just the physical act of killing someone. We can kill each other in other ways. We can kill each other with our words, with our thoughts. So we must not be fond of killing. And again from the Vedas in Hinduism, "Let us have concord with our own people and concord with people who are strangers to us. The divine twins create between us and the strangers a unity of hearts. May we unite in our minds, unite in our purposes, and fight not against the divine spirit within us." Are you beginning to kind of catch the drift here of these teachings? In the book of Amos, and this is about the ideal society, "Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This is what we're called to, especially now. Especially in this world in which we're living. And I even found some teachings from the very controversial, do you remember Reverend Moon of the Unification Church? Kind of a sketchy group for many people. There was some skepticism about his purposes, his mission, but his words nevertheless were true. Beauty arises from the fusion of extremes into a harmonious oneness. Oh, so many good things. Here's again from Confucianism. When the sun goes, the moon comes. When the moon goes, the sun comes. Sun and moon alternate. Thus light comes into existence. When cold goes, heat comes. When heat goes, cold comes. Cold and heat alternate, and thus the year completes itself. The past contracts, the future expands. Contraction and expansion act upon each other. Hereby arises that which furthers. The measuring worm draws itself together when it wants to stretch out. Dragons and snakes hibernate in order to preserve life. Thus, the penetration of germinal thought into the mind promotes the workings of the mind. When this working furthers and brings peace to life, it elevates a person's nature. My friends, it's easy for us right now to contract ourselves. We're already in a time of contracting into our homes more, except for those who must go out and work so that all others of us have supplies and are safe. But we tend to contract into ourselves. And this is a time for us to be able to expand as well. And those two things can coexist. We are dependent upon each other, interdependent, not only with other human beings, but with the creatures of the earth, with the earth itself. And so, as you notice, and we've talked about before, many people have been gardening that never have before. There are a lot of memes out there in social media about why there's so much sourdough bread being baked right now. And banana nut bread. I don't know, bread is a comforting thing. Bread, do you know bread is a common element for all cultures? And the breaking of bread is a common act. So maybe there's something to all this bread that's being made. But I also notice that I'm more conscious about not taking trips in my car unless it's absolutely necessary. I don't know that I can ever go back to being unconscious about that. I'd prefer, even though my car is a hybrid, I'd prefer not to put more stuff into the environment. I'm more conscious about what I compost, about what I recycle, so that we can try to be with the earth creatures and the earth air and the earth environment and the ground of our being, the literal ground of our being, in a more conscious way. I've noticed that people are posting more and more pictures of creatures that are coming out more. Roadrunners and deer and armadillos, birds of prey. And so it's a time for us to expand beyond ourselves, to look out for each other in thought, in word, in deed, and in prayer. And we must. And so when you hear about how many deaths have occurred in a day, is it possible for you to go ahead and open your heart, not only to the pain and the sorrow of humanity, but to open your heart with the comforting knowledge that God is with everyone who suffers, that Spirit is present with them? Sometimes I think we're afraid to acknowledge our oneness with humanity because it feels like it's too much to bear. But beloved, we must not be afraid of those big feelings, because what comes with them is also the strength and the comfort from Spirit, which we then extend. So be not afraid and turn not away from the suffering in the world right now, from the pain, from the uncertainty of those who have lost their jobs, from those who are struggling yet again to find justice and peace in our society. Don't turn away. Look at it clearly, see it clearly. For then your heart can open up to know the truth that God's justice prevails, whether we see it right now or not, whether we see it in our lifetimes or not. God's justice prevails. God's wisdom and strength prevails through us, with us, as us. God's healing power prevails. And you see, beloved, we get attached to what that's supposed to look like. And that's another thing that with our will, our understanding, our act of being able to eliminate things from our consciousness, we can let go of the results and leave everything to Spirit. Everything. We must. And I know that from the pulpit for a long time I have not used the word must, because it sounds too commanding. But these times are demanding. And so we must. We're called to that. So if you feel like the pain that you're feeling from humanity is too much, reach out and share that burden with another so that we can lift each other up. Will you do that? There's so many prayer partners, so many who are willing to be at one with everyone. Reach out. Extend your prayers. Extend your confusion so that another might be with you. And for all those unseen people, the strangers that these scriptures have talked about, we extend our whole hearts as much as we extend them to the people we know and love. That's a big order. And we must. We must. We're going to be all right. We are all right. And you're doing well. You're doing well. Remember that. Remember that on the tough days. That your strong, wise heart prevails within you. And oh, how I wish I could be with you in person to say these words and to see your beloved faces. And so, instead, I must extend my heart to you, as always, as we share this journey together, all of us. As we begin our time of meditation today, I have a prayer I'd like to share with you. Actually, I have two prayers, so bear with me here. Again, I still have Jesus and the lambs marking the place in my book. sitting beside the stream, sitting beside the still waters. In this century, and in any century, our deepest hope, our most tender prayer is that we learn to listen. May we listen to one another in openness and mercy. May we listen to plants and animals in wonder and respect. May we listen to our own hearts in love and forgiveness. May we listen to God in quietness and awe. And in this listening, which is boundless in its beauty, may we find the wisdom to cooperate with a healing spirit, a divine spirit, who beckons us into peace and community and creativity. We do not ask for a perfect world, but we do ask for a better world. We ask for deep listening. And that was from Jay McDaniel, who's a professor of religion at Hendricks College in Arkansas. And if you will now, keep your eyes open or close them, whatever is comfortable for you. I pray with you the words of Pat Kane. He is a human rights activist from California. And so breathe and know this about yourself. We are women and men of the millennium. We are wisdom and creativity embodied. A voice for Gaia's energy unfolding. We are community. Discerning, empowering, and compassionate. Interconnected with all beings. We are change. Encouraging inner and outer healing. Willing to be the cauldron of transformation. We are willing to recognize our wholeness and holiness, willing to grow with peace, power, and love. We are witness to the pain and injustice around us, willing to be companions in the struggle. We believe in equality and diversity, respecting differences. We believe that giving is the act of receiving, that in healing ourselves, we heal the world. We believe that we are interconnected, part of ancestors and children to come, part of soil, earth, and stars. Even if you didn't get all of those words, they sank into your subconscious. And there they dwell to bloom and magnify. I would ask that during this time of meditation, to acknowledge our interdependence, our interconnectedness. Perhaps you just put your hands into a bowl. And this bowl may look like it's only two hands width, but in fact it is symbolic of a bowl that can hold the whole world. And I ask you to take all of humanity, all living things, and the oceans and the skies, the mountains and the plains, the people of all colors, the mammals and the fishes and the insects and everything else that I've left out, and hold them right here. And notice that the bowl of your holding is only a few inches away from your heart. And so pour your heart out into this bowl. Let it flow like water. Let it flow like your tears flow sometimes. Can you feel that as you pour out your love, you are not emptied? Because the love that lives within us is infinite. It is of God. It is of the entire universe. And that is how our giving becomes our receiving. Because as we pour out our love, our compassion, our understanding, our goodwill, our generosity, we are also filled up with those very same things. And breathe. You might even feel your breath as it leaves your body, flowing over the bowl that your hands are making. This is the breath of life. And know that it is breathing back to you with every inhale. All the great wise teachers knew this and transmitted their wisdom to us. We would be wise to follow it. And breathe a final blessing upon the earth that you're holding. And then, if you will, release it and let it go. For all is in God's hands, and all is well. Bring your hands together in a symbol of humility and gratitude. Give thanks to the Creator within us and outside of us, as near as our breath and as far as the farthest star. We give thanks. We say, Amen.